Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and we have a few things to do today. One, Dr. James Dobson was talking about a scathing article written by an Andrew Longman, and this was last week, and in a few minutes we'll have Andrew Longman of andrewlongman.com on the show to talk through his article criticizing Focus on the Family for their support of a reciprocal benefits bill that gives benefits to homosexual couples without naming them as homosexual couples in the bill. So we'll talk through that in a moment. But first, a couple things. Bob Benyart Live, Bob Benyart Live is one of the few ministries, conservative talk shows that I know of that has been calling for a national DNA database. And a new story out of London that if law enforcement officials had access to even a rudimentary DNA database, when they get evidence from a crime, trace evidence, they could identify with a high degree of accuracy the surname, the family name of whoever committed the crime. Now, that wouldn't help them prove who committed the crime in court. But let's say there was a rape, and even with having no idea who committed the crime, they could go in there, do DNA test, and say the last name of the person and identify the family name of the culprit. They look at the Y chromosome, and for example, they might say, we don't know who committed this crime, but his last name is Clinton, or whatever. And so that will be significant, and another... You heard it here first at Bob Benyart Live, the call for the national DNA database by a conservative outlet to help dramatically protect women from being the victims of serious sexual assaults and other crimes, of course. Okay. Also, last night I attended a high school varsity basketball game, and it was one of our advertisers, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, playing against a secular high school, Nederland. That's a town in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains up toward Rocky Mountain National Park. And it was what a game. It went down to the last minute. It was a playoff game. You'd be eliminated from the playoffs if you lose. And Maranatha won the game in the last minute. It was extraordinary. But what happened at the buzzer shocked me. And I have not been at a high school basketball game since I played on Manchester Regional High School's team in the 1970s. That might have been in 73. So I was shocked. As soon as the buzzer rang, the game was over. Maranatha won by 2 points. The three referees, who did a great job the whole game, the three referees bolted from the gymnasium. They ran out of the gymnasium, and that caught me by surprise. I sort of followed them out to see what in the world's going on, and they were gone. And so I asked one of the administrators of the school, I said, why did the referees bolt from the gym? And they said, that's common because in so many schools, and I don't know what percent, but it's become a danger to referees after high school basketball games. They'll get assaulted or even possibly beat up. And so it's now routine that the referees bolt from the gymnasium. I was in shock. And Pastor Miller at Maranatha Christian Center, he said, now they have 8 basketball teams there. He said, our coaches do a fabulous job of teaching our students that you respect the referee. And, you know, it's especially when the referee makes a bad call. Scott Truesdell, who runs Maranatha too, he told us today, he said, you know, referees are human beings. They're going to make bad calls. And when they make a bad call, that's when we find out what our students are like, what kind of character they have. Because when a ref makes a bad call, you respect the ref. And that's great. And the fans showed, you know, respect toward the referees also last night. But I was in shock. That's the state of our culture where referees are in fear after a high school basketball game and they physically, literally run from the building. Wow, that's sad. Okay, So now we get to our interview. Last week, many of you heard Dr. James Dobson read from an editorial posted on a website run by Alan Keyes. Alan Keyes, nationally known conservative, Judeo-Christian family values kind of guy, and politician, former UN ambassador, strong pro-life, eloquent. And he had Andrew Longman on staff working with his website. And Andrew, we interviewed Andrew months ago about Samuel Alito's record voting as a judge five times in the past decade, rendering extremist pro-abortion rulings. And so I was somewhat shocked to hear Dr. Dobson quoting from an article written by Andrew Longman that the article was rightly criticizing Focus on the Family for endorsing Bill 166 in Colorado that gives benefits to homosexual couples. Now, the bill doesn't mention homosexual couples, but it explicitly doesn't apply to heterosexual couples who are living together. It applies to other people like siblings or homosexual couples, and it gives them various benefits, including possibly medical benefits, especially if they work for major corporations or the government. And so I think it's appropriate to explain that Focus on the Family is making a devastating mistake by endorsing Senator Sean Mitchell's bill. And we had Senator Mitchell on this show just a couple programs ago. And so then I was somewhat taken aback by Andrew Longman and his personal animosity or hostility toward Dr. Dobson and attributing to Dobson some horrific motives, as though James Dobson really wanted to undermine Christian morality and promote homosexuality in a rather startling way. So let's go to the phones, and I'd like to ask Andrew Longman. Andrew, welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Andrew, so you heard that introduction, and if you could, please speak up a little, Andrew. You heard that introduction. I agree with your assessment of Focus on the Family being wrong to support this bill, but I was somewhat shocked at the personal attack.
Well, it really represents a failure on my part. You know, I was so scandalized and offended that I really spoke out of my first very, very raw emotion. And I subsequently was greatly rebuked by Dr. Alan Keyes in a public letter that he wrote on his site, as well as receiving an email from him rebuking me. I thought, you know, he's right. You know, we don't, sometimes we need our elders to, rebuke us. We need people around us to rebuke us when we, let our sense of emotion go ahead of, maybe a sense of wisdom.
And, you know, the internet makes that all the more possible because people flame one another on emails, and then we have blogs, and then in any moment, any thought we have is suddenly published within 60 seconds to the world, to whoever wants to find it. And so I could certainly understand that. And I'm thrilled, Andrew, actually, because I appreciate you here at Bob and Yurt Live as being one of the Christians who were speaking out against this groupthink and saying, look, we have to actually look at what these judges are ruling, and they are rendering extremist pro-abortion rulings. And we have to be honest about that and honest about what we're doing.
Yeah, and I you know, you get sometimes into a little bit of an antagonized mindset when you're getting constant barrages of criticism at you. And so I can understand Dr. Dobson's emotional response to my overly emotional statement to begin with. But as you say, I feel that there really isn't a lot of a positive rebuke in the church, an examination in detail of some of the factual positions. As you say, groupthink,
right.
There's a lot of it, and I think the only solution to it is independent analysis.
Well, yeah, for the most part, that doesn't happen in the body of Christ. When our Christian leaders come out in support of sometimes horrendous humanist or situational ethics or moral relativist ideas, there seems to be almost no effort to hold one another accountable, and they all get a pass from all the other national Christian ministries.
Yes.
And so here's the case where Focus on the Family, let's talk about the bill.
Yes.
Bill 166.
Right.
It's designed as a political maneuver to outmaneuver the homosexuals and the pro-homosexual Democratic Party in Colorado.
Supposedly, yes.
That's the design of it, to give homosexuals a certain number of benefits when they live together so that they won't be able to pass a law that gives them even more benefits. So we're saying we're against homosexual benefits as a couple, as couples, so we're going to give you these benefits so you don't come back and ask for more benefits.
Right, and the part of the thing that disturbs me about the premise is that when we leave the simplicity of Christ and count ourselves clever tactically, we invariably end up defeating ourselves in grand fashion. You know, we blow big holes in our foot while we're, you know, while we're trying to shoot a cockroach that's running around on the floor.
Yeah.
And in this case, I really think that the homosexual lobby has hoodwinked Focus on the Family, and I don't think Dr. Dobson really realizes it. As I've reflected on his comments since some of the criticisms have come out, and I'm certainly not the only one that's been criticizing him, it seems clear that the man in his own mind has adopted a moral position. But I don't think he realizes what's in this bill or what his organization is pushing.
Well, we have talked to Focus on the Family privately, and we've published an open letter to James Dobson in their hometown newspaper. And in fact, we then created a video presentation called Focus on the Strategy of the presentation we gave to Dobson's VP of Public Policy, Tom Minery. And we've documented seven lines of evidence that our national Christian ministries, including Focus on the Family, are becoming legal positivist. They're going down the moral relativism path to situational ethics, and they no longer have a commitment to do not murder, do not commit adultery. They are willing to actively compromise on those for political purposes, to achieve short-term political goals.
And practically, I fear that one way this may be happening is that while the person at the top, say Dobson, has as an emotional position or as a position of his own personal integrity that, oh, I'd never support homosexual marriage, I'd never support civil unions, I'd never support domestic partnerships, he puts such intrinsic trust in his staff under him to feed him information that's true, that if they are really going off the deep end, and I think that's what's happening in this case, supporting domestic partnerships for homosexuals, that he doesn't know.
No, I think, Andrew, I'm going to disagree with you. Dr. Dobson knows what this bill states.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that it gives benefits to homosexual couples, benefits to homosexual couples that it does not give to heterosexual couples, but he believes this is politically savvy as an end run around a homosexual civil unions bill or some other similar bill.
Right.
So they're doing this for political reasons. They think the political trade-off is worthwhile, and here's what the trade-off is. They don't want the Democrats, the liberals, the homosexuals to get a victory with a bill that gives homosexual couples even more rights.
Right.
So they're willing to blur the moral standard somewhat by Christian leaders advocating a benefits bill for homosexuals who are living together in order to have this political victory.
Right.
So they'll blur the moral distinction, the standard that God has given us, in hopes of gaining a political victory.
Well said. Let's look at some of these things that this thing is actually going to do on the ground. One of the statements in the bill is that if you have a homosexual domestic partnership, say from Vermont or something like that, and two people from Vermont come to Colorado, the instant that they step across the state line, according to this law or this bill that wants to become law, they would immediately turn into
a reciprocal benefits.
Yes, what a mouthful that is. Reciprocal beneficiary, so and so. I'm like, yeah, whatever that means. But if, in fact, it was true what Focus keeps saying, oh, no, this isn't domestic partnerships. Oh, no, this isn't civil unions. Oh, no, this isn't domestic partnerships. If that's really true, then how in the world can one turn into the other magically at the state line?
Yeah, a homosexual marriage in Massachusetts will be recognized in Colorado by this Bill 166 as a living together benefits group, a reciprocal benefits couple. Yeah, of course it is. It does. They don't want to say that because that's not really their goal. And it's sort of bizarre. Andrew, I don't know if you know the history with Focus on the Family and homosexual rights in Colorado, but in 1993, there was a statewide initiative, an amendment, Amendment 2, that if passed, it would allow people to refuse to rent to homosexuals and refuse to hire homosexuals. So you have a business, let's say you're providing math and science lessons
right.
to kids in high school, and you have a job opening and you're going to hire somebody and you find out it's a homosexual and you don't want to hire a homosexual
right.
to tutor 14-year-old boys.
Sure.
So this bill, Amendment 2, would give you the right not to hire homosexuals. Say you own a duplex or two-family home and you're renting out upstairs and a homosexual couple, two lesbians come and apply, and you don't want your kids seeing lesbians holding hands and smooching on a bench in the backyard.
Right.
So by Amendment 2, it explicitly said you did not have to hire or rent to homosexuals. Focus on the Family supported that in 1993.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, that sounds shocking, doesn't it? It sounds shocking because we're only 13 years later. And last week, dealing with your article and in a conversation we had with Dobson's VP, Tom Minery, they both said the same thing. James Dobson said, we support equal rights for homosexuals, right to housing, right to employment. And Tom Minery said that in our meeting with him privately. And I didn't want to repeat this publicly because it would have been his word against ours. But now James Dobson has said it publicly. And we asked Tom Minery, we said, Tom, then why was it back in 93, Focus on the Family was supporting Amendment 2 that gave people the right not to hire and not to rent to homosexuals?
Yeah.
And Tom Minery was unable to answer.
He
couldn't come up with on the spot why they had changed their position.
Right. See, well, they don't realize it. Almost, it's like a pale has come over the vision here to some extent, and you know, I really wonder whether they realize the ramifications that if you are a business in Colorado which chooses to do the quote unquote good part. And I put that in heavy quotes.
Of the bill?
Of the reciprocal beneficiary business, where you would have, you know, Auntie Bertha covering for Auntie Grace, who's at home and infirmed, as getting health insurance or whatever. The thing that Dobson wants you to do with the bill.
In other words, you have two elderly sisters living together. The one has health insurance. And so by this bill, if her employer says, okay, we'll give benefits to reciprocal couples, then her elderly sister would also be covered by her health insurance.
And that's how Focus is pushing this as some great thing.
That's how they're selling it. This is what this bill will do.
Right. But the reason that I think that that is an absolute dodge by the homosexual lobby, it's really not anything that the homosexual lobby is going to oppose, is because it plucks at the heartstrings of decent Christian people to try to force them to take on homosexuals into their business's benefit package as well. Because what happens then is, okay, you run your gun and bait shop, you know, and you get Auntie Bertha and Auntie Gracie on the Blue Cross Blue Shield. Okay, fine. Well, then one of your employees pops up and says, oh, by the way, I'm gay, I have a partner at home, and according to this law, you have to support me too.
And they have to, by this law, if they're going to help the elderly sister with her extending health benefits to her, they will be forced to give health benefits to all the homosexual partners of their employees, which is really, there's not a big lobby for elderly siblings
right.
who are trying to get reciprocal benefits.
That
doesn't exist. But in the Denver metro area and Boulder, there is a big homosexual lobby, and they are the ones that will be the primary beneficiaries of Bill 166. So this is a homosexual benefits, homosexual couples benefits bill,
right?
But it's designed as an end run to give them a little less than they would get on their own.
Exactly.
And the problem is it blurs the distinction between right and wrong, because here are Christian leaders advocating rights for homosexual couples for a political victory.
And Focus on the Family's defense of this is exclusively semantic. It's hair splitting. They try to say, well, we haven't changed our position, and they're speaking, I guess, in an emotional sense.
Well, Dr. Dobson said we support the right of homosexuals to housing and employment. Now, he said that last week on the show.
Well, and if you think that that homosexuals should have the equal legal benefits of marriage, then what you've really done is you've sacrificed the principle of exclusivity, which is at the core of the marriage contract.
Well, and bigger than that, for 3,500 years in Judeo-Christian legal history, homosexuality has been a crime. And it is the legal legitimizing homosexuality, which means to declare it legally valid,
right,
and the respect given to that destructive lifestyle that has led to the tortured deaths of tens of millions of people in the last couple decades.
Right.
And it is an utterly destructive lifestyle. And I don't think Dr. James Dobson would get on the air and say, we advocate equal rights for child molesters.
Right.
I don't think he would do that. We advocate equal rights for pedophiles. But he says that for homosexuals. And in so doing, Focus on the Family has effectively changed. They've switched sides.
Right.
Now, you put Moses, Jesus, the Apostle Paul, and all of our founding fathers on one side, where homosexuality is not only a sin, it's a crime. And on the other side, you put Hillary, Hollywood, the homosexuals, and the humanist, and they say homosexuality should be legal. James Dobson has switched sides and no longer is taking the Judeo-Christian position,
right,
of 3,500 years that homosexuality needs to be a crime. Now they believe that you have the right to be a homosexual and to live the homosexual lifestyle.
Well, and the thing that's so difficult about this is you're factually absolutely correct, and you're thinking in terms of facts. They are thinking in terms of just words. They come out and, you know, because many of the things that they say sound right. You know, Dobson has said on the air this week, oh, I'm totally against homosexuality, you know, I'm totally against civil unions, domestic partnerships, etc. But then they turn around and with the words reciprocal beneficiary contract instead of homosexual domestic partnership,
right,
they effectively implement the same thing while calling it something else.
Well, that's
and
true.
Such their conscience, yeah, is assuaged.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. The bill doesn't say homosexual couples, but it explicitly homosexual couples qualify and
right,
heterosexual couples do not.
Right. And that actually was one of the major things that Focus issued an enormous rebuttal. And you can go and read a lot of this on andrewlongman.com. There's many, many pages of this there, and I would encourage the listenership to do that. But one of the factual rebukes that they offered me is that I had said that this was essentially a shack-up type law because it was going to allow heterosexuals to just have kind of a marriage light.
And that's
agreement.
Not true because
and
it explicitly doesn't apply. Over the years, we've pointed out when corporations decide to give benefits to homosexual partners,
mm-hmm,
and they've explicitly, frequently not given such benefits to heterosexual partners.
Yes.
In a way, giving additional credibility to homosexuals who shack up.
That's right. I thought if Focus on the Family was going to support a partial marriage bill, I fully would have expected they only would have allowed it for heterosexuals. That would have been less of a compromise.
Yeah, right? And even that would have been wrong.
Sure.
Because where it's wrong is this. You don't compromise on do not commit adultery.
Right.
You don't pass laws that compromise on do not commit adultery. And although this bill plays a political game by not saying that it applies to homosexual couples, that's the primary beneficiary and the target, and those who are qualified are homosexual couples.
It is as though Focus on the Family doesn't feel at all responsible for the real effects. They feel only responsible for stating their intentions.
And for beating the Democrats at yet another political cycle.
Right, that, right.
They're focused on the very temporal political contest.
Yeah.
And then when you do that, you quickly get to where the ends justify the means. And you think, you know, we got to beat the Democrats because they're coming out with the civil union bill. We got to beat them. So if we blur God's principle of do not commit adultery, the trade-off is worthwhile because we're going to win this political victory. We're out of time, Andrew. I really appreciate you coming on.
Appreciate you so much.
And hearing you state clearly your motives and your goals. Your website again?
AndrewLongman.com.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Bless you, Bob.
God bless you. I appreciate that. I'm thankful that he has made the statements publicly he has about sometimes in anger, even if it's righteous anger, we could let our flesh and our emotion get in and say things that should not be said. So I appreciate his attitude and agree with the criticism that we should not compromise on do not murder. When we do, it doesn't end there. It goes to do not commit adultery. And us Christians advocating compromises to other absolute moral principles. We're out of time. Our telethon, we're up to 61%, and the need is tremendous. So please call us at 800-8-NER or go online at kgov.com, and help out Bob and Yart Live. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out, Maranatha at 72nd and Oak in Arvada.